the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Proverbs 9:10. I'm Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to introduce our teaching pastor, O. Runner for Christ Ministries is a church of teaching, learning, and doing. As we eat spiritual food and grow up in Jesus, we have access to more power and grace. So let us listen with ears to hear how we also can get earthly victories over spiritual wickedness in high places. Today, Pastor O will deliver a sermon titled, The Risen Jesus, The Six Appearances of Jesus to His Disciples. The text is John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. So turn or click in your Bibles to John chapter number 20, verses 11 through 18, and it reads as follows. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angels asked her. Because they have taken away my Lord, she replied, and I don't know where they have put him. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. Dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her. Who are you looking for? She thought he was the gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him and I will go get him. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher. Don't cling to me, Jesus said, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. Then she gave them his message. So let's listen with ears to hear Pastor's message titled The Risen Jesus. The subtitle is The Six Appearances of Jesus to His Disciples. So, church, repeat after me. Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Make it plain for us.
Amen. Good morning. Happy Resurrection morning. Thank you, Deaconess Rebecca. Appreciate you. Amen. Thank you, Ed, for allowing your wife to have to, put up with my stuff. Amen. I didn't send her my sermon until when? Yesterday? I'm sending out announcements everywhere except I didn't tell her. Amen. But anyway, let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Father, it's Resurrection Day. And we get a chance to come out and commemorate, to remember how we became your children. You said in Romans 8:29 that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. You have made us your children. Angels can't say father because you're not their father. You're their creator and their ruler, but not father. We are the only beings in creation that can say our father. We are the only beings in creation. We're the only human beings with the right, the authority to say Abba Father, to call you daddy. And all of that was accomplished from Friday to Sunday in the life and times of Jesus Christ. So thank you, Father, yes, that we get to remember. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay. Had to make sure that pop wasn't topped. I ain't drinking syrup. Amen. Everybody quiet? And I guess you're supposed to be. I'm supposed to be talking, right? Hey, amen. I thank God that we get a chance to come and celebrate the resurrection. This is the most important part of this whole deal. It is the witness that the Lord gave us. Just as Mary Magdalene went and witnessed to the disciples that he is risen, that is our job, 24/7, 365. Every day we ought to look for opportunities to tell somebody that Jesus is risen. But somebody might ask us for proof that Jesus is risen. Amen? And so what the Lord has given us, like Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that whole chapter is about the resurrection, the afterlife, what happens to these bodies after we die, do we get a new? It's all about that stuff. Amen? And Paul says over there in 1 Corinthians 15 that around AD 55 is when he's writing this. And Paul says that Jesus was seen above by 500 people. And in AD 55, some 25 years later, some of those folks are still alive. Eyewitnesses who saw him tore up from the floor Friday, and now they see him on Sunday, and all he has is what I like to call identifying marks. So that you know this is the same Jesus. See, on the cross, Jesus had been beaten so bad. Can I have some? Let me get it. He was beaten so bad that his own disciples could not recognize him. His own mother, who birthed him, who raised him until he started his public ministry, couldn't recognize him. Mary Magdalene, who he had cast seven demons out of. Amen. A lot of folks call her a prostitute, but she wasn't. She just had seven demons. She was hard to deal with. Amen. You didn't want to run into Mary before Jesus got her. Amen. Seven demons. And you know one demon is straight crazy. She had seven of them. Amen. But she didn't recognize him. There were other women there at the cross along with John. Couldn't recognize him. So Jesus rose with identifying marks. Okay. Amen. Yes. So he could prove to his disciples, when you see that Jesus rose six times, he showed himself to them, and each time they found it hard to believe that it was him. See, Peter looked in Jesus' tore up face because they had beat him all in his face saying, "Prophesy to us, Messiah, who was it that hit you?" That was a game that the Roman guards would used to play. Now the Herodian guards have picked it up, and they're doing that to Jesus. The chief priests and the scribes, they're doing that to Jesus. Amen? And so Peter, on his last denial of Jesus, looks Jesus right in the face when he says, "I don't know him." He was scared for his own life. But I don't know, how would you feel that this person you've been walking around with for 3.5 years or 3 years or so, amen, and now you saw him raise the dead. You saw him open up blind eyes, unstop deaf ears, straighten out crooked tongues. You saw him do all of that. He was responsible for the food you ate. He provided all of that. He decided where you were going and when you were going and how long you were going to be there. And now, your Savior, the one you've been following, is on the cross. Or has been arrested. Has been beaten. Amen? How do you process that? You don't have the Holy Spirit now to put it all together for you. How do you process that? What do you do with that? Amen. Jesus, the scripture said he would never die. He's God. He's the Son of God. But now, this is the reality. That's a whole new reality. Amen. That's something that you have to process. How does that work in your mind? Like when my father died, wasn't it in 84? I think so.
Yeah.
Amen. I know because that's the year I met Sheila. And he died early in the year, and Sheila I met in October 14, 1984. Amen. When my father died, he kept all of us together. He held the house. He supported all of us. Eddie used to scare me to death trying to figure out how I was going to be like him. How was I going to take care? I didn't have nobody to take care of me, but he took care of 9 people. Amen. 9 people plus when my sister started having children. At one point, it was 15 people living in one house. Three bedrooms. Yeah, so that was tough. That was rough. But my father was the provider, him and my mother, of all these things. So when my father died, amen, I felt like this is it. Life is over. Amen. What are we going to do? He took care of all of us. And so I can understand how the disciples felt who had been walking with Jesus, sitting in all the Bible classes, hearing all the sermons. How do you go from that? Hosanna, Hosanna last week, right? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna meaning the one who saves us. Blessed is the one who saves us. How do you go from that to he's all tore up? But then Sunday morning came. See, Jesus had told them 3 times, I am going to the cross. We're headed to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be turned over to the Gentiles. I'm going to be crucified. But on the 3rd day, I'm going to rise again. He told them that 3 times. And still, when it happened, they weren't ready for it. They weren't ready for it. But thank God, that Sunday comes. You know, resurrection can be about a lot of things. We talk about the resurrection of Jesus. But we can have things that die. Amen? And then Sunday comes. They get right back up. Amen? You can have a lot of things that seem to be dead and have no life in it. I remember when God spoke to Ezekiel the prophet and took him to the valley of dry bones. There was just a bunch of dead, dry bones. The Lord said, can these bones, the question was asked, can these bones live again? And then God caused all those bones to come back together. That's the resurrection. Jesus took all of our sins, placed them on himself. Amen. All the sins from Adam until the end of the tribulation period. Anybody who would be born into this world had the opportunity to receive forgiveness for their sins because Jesus died for their sins. Jesus died for people's sins who died before he even got here. Jesus died for people's sins who died after he left here. So the sins of all mankind are covered in the cross. But what happens if he don't get up on Sunday morning? None of that comes to pass. But he got up. And he didn't just get up, but he got up with all power in his hands. Amen? God has given him all power in heaven and earth. He can do anything he wants, whenever he wants to. Because he got all power. So Jesus gets up. His disciples are in the upper room. They don't know what's going on. They do remember that he said he was going to get up. But you think they would be the ones who would get up and rush to the tomb to see if he got up. But they were scared. What happened to Jesus? If they took out the leader, amen, they're coming after the followers. So the same thing that happened to Jesus could happen to them. And naturally, they are afraid. Everywhere they went, Jesus told them. Everything they did, Jesus told them. Everything they ate, Jesus provided. All the protection they needed, Jesus gave it. But he's gone now. And you on your own, seemingly. What do you do? Amen. You would think that Jesus would go to his disciples first. But Jesus went to the one who was at the cross first. Amen. See, Mary Magdalene and the other women and John was there, but Mary Magdalene and the other women, they followed him right up to the last moments of his life. And then they followed Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, two Pharisees who believed in Jesus but wouldn't say it openly because they were afraid of the other Pharisees and scribes. They followed them right until they saw where Jesus was buried. But look at their mindset on the morning that he was supposed to raise up. They have spices and they have things to anoint his body because on Friday they had to get him off the cross. They said as the Sabbath was dawning, meaning it was about 3:00. And they had to get him off the cross. The Pharisees and the unfair scribes who put him on the cross telling lies and trumped up charges, handing him over to the Romans, amen. On the other side, they were like, we got to get him off the cross so he ain't up there while we celebrate communion.
Oh, okay.
How can you even go to church? But you have to understand, yesterday I kept wanting to beat him up. Mother, I kept wanting to jump in the TV and beat up the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin. I wanted to beat them up, Deacon Mackey. I wanted to beat them up. But Jesus said, you got to understand, they don't know Jesus. As far as they're concerned, he that guy that grew up in Nazareth. They don't know of his virgin birth. They don't even believe that. Even when the blind man's mother and father said he was born blind, the Pharisees didn't believe him. They didn't believe that he was actually born blind. So these people who were crucifying Jesus, did they really know he was the Son of God and just wanted to get rid of him so they could have his spot as far as being over the children of Israel? So I had to have a little mercy on them because Jesus had mercy on them. How do I know? Father, what? Forgive them, for they don't know what they do. They don't know what they don't know I'm the Lord of glory. Amen. So when Jesus gets up, he first appears to Mary Magdalene, and Jesus is something else. He is really funny. Amen. Now, first, Mary Magdalene and the other women, they run to the tomb to anoint the body. But as we heard in the scripture reading, amen, that an angel had come down from heaven, rolled away the stone, and then sat on it. But they don't know that on their way to the tomb. They're wondering who will roll away the stone for us. But they're still going to the tomb, but they're not going there to see a risen Jesus. They're going to anoint a dead body. But when they get there, the stone is rolled away. And the angels announce what have happened. And so they light out back for the upper room. And they tell the disciples, we went to the tomb to see Jesus, but his body wasn't there. And so Peter and John decide that we're going to go and check this thing out. And the reason they had to go, because in that day, a woman couldn't even testify in court. So her testimony, when she did see Jesus and come back and tell them, they thought that she was crazy, talking like a crazy woman. And Jesus has chided them about that, about not believing her. So Peter and John light out for the tomb, and they get there. Peter, you know how he is, he just runs straight in. He don't care if snakes in there, a lion in there, anything could have roamed up in there. You know Peter, impetuous Peter, right? He just went straight in. John was different. He got to the door and slammed on the brakes, and he looked in there. Amen. And guess what? They saw that where Jesus had been covered in that linen, it wasn't just on the ground, but it had been folded up and laid where his head was. A human being did that. Amen. Somebody human did that. But they still didn't see Jesus. So they dropped that head down and did that slow walk back to the upper room. But Mary hangs around. Jesus pops up, but he pretending to be the gardener. He is something else. They're looking for the risen Savior. Jesus want to play games. He say, woman, who you looking for? They said, or why are you crying? She said, because they have taken my master away, and I don't know where they put him. Jesus said, Mary. And when Jesus said Mary, she recognized that's Jesus. Amen. She recognized apparently he had called her name a lot. Amen. So she knew when he said Mary, that was Jesus. But look at him. He playing games. He out here pretending like he the gardener. But he's not. And how do you think Mary felt? The woman who he had cast 7 demons out. The woman who had followed him for his 3-year public ministry. The woman who was at the cross when they crucified him, lifted him up high and stretched him wide. She was there. She saw him when he said, heard him when she said, it's finished. And the reason I say she heard him is because Jesus spoke from the cross to John and his mother and said, son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. Amen. So she heard Jesus say it's finished. And plus she saw them carry dead Jesus and put him in the tomb. But now here's dead Jesus tore up from the floor up standing in front of her. Amen. I once preached this one time and said, have you seen the risen Jesus? Because I was doing some studying for a book or something. And amen. The folks who saw the risen Jesus were different after they saw him. Come on. They were not the same. They were different after they saw him. So Mary runs back and tells his disciples he is risen. But again, I told you, they thought that she was a foolish woman. Now the second appearance of Jesus is to 2 disciples. We don't even know their names. We do know that they came from the city of Emmaus. We know they were followers, disciples of Jesus Christ. They're headed back. They waited a little while after the women gave the report. They heard it, didn't believe it, hung their heads down. Now they walk into Emmaus. 7 miles. My wife and I walked around Mackinac Island. That's about 9 miles. It took us about 4 hours. Wow. It was not a good decision. And once you get so far away, you got to keep going because how you going to get back? And there ain't no cars on Mackinac Island. The best they can give you is a bike. And it took 4 hours. On one side of the island, we needed our winter coats. And I got so tired, I'd have picked up Moses' staff, and I'm walking with that now. Amen. Then on the other side of the island, you don't need no coat. Then we took a picture by the devil's kitchen. Oh, it's just a whole little rock. They call it the devil's kitchen. I guess that's where he cook at. But anyway, so that's about a 4-hour walk, depending on how fast your gait and your stride is. 4 hours. So Jesus, now one of the things you want to peep on this is what a glorified body can do. Amen. A glorified body can just pop up somewhere. You won't have to drive there. You won't have to walk there. If you want to be at Kmart or Walmart, that's the new Kmart, right? If you want to be at the new Kmart, Walmart, you can just be there. My daughter's going to love that. Amen. When she get her glorified body, because see, she went late sometime, and she can just be there. Amen. Amen. She don't have to worry about getting no ticket. She's like, Jazzy gonna be talking about you gonna drive to work. I'm going there. Amen. So Jesus just pops up on the road, and these 2 guys are walking. He comes out of nowhere. And he joins them and he says, what's up? What y'all talking about? And they look at him like, what are we talking about? Where have you been? Under a rock somewhere? Haven't you heard that Jesus was here? We thought he was the Messiah. We thought that he was the one that was going to come and rescue Israel from the oppression of the Romans. But then the Romans got him. And they literally said, we thought he was the one. And so now we're going back to Emmaus. He did. But Jesus began to speak to them, to tell them, don't you remember what the prophet said, how that he must suffer and die? And Jesus expounded on the scriptures to them as they walked along. A four-hour Bible class. Raise your hand if you can be in a four-hour Bible class. But see, if the teacher is Jesus, or if the teacher, amen, is saying something that can hold you, then you can go for 4 hours. I went for 16 hours. Yeah, one class, 16 hours. A total weekend of, amen, about 20 plus hours. But when you're listening to somebody like Jesus, you can listen for hours. They had followed Jesus for 3 days. And Jesus said, they've been following me now for 3 days. And they have no food. They have no water. Give them something to eat. That's what led to the feeding of the 5,000. If you read where Nehemiah brought his boy Ezra down to preach to the people, he preached for 4 hours. If you're looking at Paul in that upper room where the boy fell out of the window, Eutychus, right?
Right.
He preached from 12 in the afternoon to 5 the next morning.
Oh, my God.
Amen. Amen. So Jesus is talking to them about everything that was supposed to happen to them, things that they should have known that was going to happen to him, but they didn't know it. That's the value of knowing what God said. So when these kinds of things happen, you know what he said. It's one, see, they heard Jesus say he was going to go through this. But apparently they weren't listening. Because when it happened, they act like they didn't know what was going on. And now, when you don't know what's going on, you're like these guys. You're walking with your head down. You're depressed. You're stressed out because you don't know what God said, or you're not believing what God said. Even when somebody went to the tomb, the women, and came back and told them, we have seen the Messiah, the risen Jesus, you still don't believe because they women. Amen. I don't care if a donkey come up to me telling me what God said, like that donkey told Balaam. Amen. I don't care if a donkey is telling me what God said. If it's what God said, I might be like, okay, donkey, but I'm going to listen. Especially because a donkey's saying it. If for no other reason, I'm like, this got to be God, a donkey talking. But Balaam didn't get it either. Amen. So they walk with Jesus. They come to the end of their walk. They go into the house. They get ready to break bread. Now, when Jesus sits down with them, he sort of takes over and he breaks the bread. They recognize him by the way he broke the bread. And when he broke that bread, the Bible says they recognized him. Amen. Mary recognized him because she knew how he said her name. She heard his voice say her name. And she responded, Rabboni, or Rabbi, which means teacher. That's all that is. Amen. Jesus breaks the bread. What does that tell you? They spent some time with him to know how he breaks bread. I mean, you know how it is. You see people, you know them long enough. You see them walking and they walking away from you. You still know who that is. Why? Because you know they walk. What does that tell us? We need to spend time with Jesus to get to know him, to know what he's all about. Amen. Now, all of this is happening. Mary sees him Sunday morning. These guys see him Sunday afternoon. And now let's go to Sunday evening. Same day. Jesus now appears to his disciples. They are locked away, tucked away in the upper room. They're afraid the same thing that happened to Jesus is going to happen to them. Their security is the upper room and that door. But Jesus bust right through their security and was in the room. Amen. When Jesus came into the room, he said, upper room. Amen. I'm in the upper room. Amen. He came right in there where they were. Another thing you want to notice about this body, when Jesus broke the bread with the rope to the men on Emmaus, guess what? He disappeared. Yeah, he disappeared. Another thing we'll be able to do with a glorified body. If I want to go outside, I don't have to go through that door. With a glorified body, that becomes a door. Matter no more masses up against me, but I can pass right through it. I can separate the atoms God made me out of and pull them back together. The reason why I say we'll have a glorified body like his and be able to do that, because the Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, we're citizens of heaven. And we look for our Savior to come from there, who by the power that enables him, the power he's with the power he has, he will give us a glorified body. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when these earthly tabernacles are dissolved, we have another building not made by hands, meaning two parents coming together and creating another human being, but one made by God. A glorified body. See, in heaven, you have to have a glorified body because there's no aging there. Amen. Could you imagine that? All of heaven looking like a bunch of California prunes. Amen. Amen. We all sitting around heaven in the big old giant geriatric center. All us up there just, I love you, Jesus. I'm going to get my praise on, Jesus. That is. Amen. So glorified bodies gives us a body like the one Adam and Eve had with some. So he appears to his disciples. They're scared to death. Okay, but Jesus tells them, be not afraid, do not fear, it's me. They see the nail prints, but they don't say nothing. He don't show them what's stabbed in the side. They don't see that, but they see their risen Savior. Jesus knows they're shook up because he asked them, do you have any food? Because they're thinking he's a ghost. The last time they thought he was a ghost is when he came walking on the water and they screamed out, it's a ghost. And now here he is. I mean, think about it. What would you think? I mean, you went to a funeral last week, right? You went to the, you saw the internment. You saw them even cover them up. You get to the crib and they sitting in your living room. How would you feel?
It's a ghost.
So they're looking at Jesus, and they don't want to say it, but he knows that they're struggling to deal with this reality. They're struggling. And so he gives them a proof that he says, see, I'm not a ghost. A ghost don't have flesh and bone like I do. They're spirits, right? But I got flesh and bone. It's me. Guess who's not there?
Thomas
is not there. This is now the third appearance of the risen Jesus, and Thomas is not there. So when Jesus leaves, Thomas comes in, and they're all looking straight at Thomas. Thomas like, why y'all looking at me like that? We just saw Jesus. Thomas like, yeah, that's one of my teachers said, that is a devoutly wished for remedy for a catastrophic situation. Amen. A devoutly wish for a remedy for a catastrophic situation. The word is wish for. You want it to be like this. You want Jesus to be risen from the dead, but he's not. So Thomas says, I will not believe. Y'all can just shut up. I will not believe unless I see the nail prints in his hands and the pierced side. Amen. You got to wait on faith. You got to wait on faith. And Jesus got jokes again. Amen. He pop up and scare him to death in the room. Then he calm him down. And now for the fourth appearance of the resurrected Christ. Amen. It's 7 days later. It's next Sunday. Amen. And Jesus once again appears in the room. And he goes to Thomas and he says, look at my hands. Look at my side. Now stop being faithless and believe. And of course, Thomas says, not only my Savior, but my Savior and my Lord. Amen. And Jesus says to Thomas, you believe because you saw me. But blessed are those, and that's us today, that have not seen me and yet believe.
Yes. Say it, Doc.
That's faith.
Yes.
None of us have ever seen Jesus. But he has given us, like I'm giving you, many proofs that we can evaluate, examine, and say, more likely than not, amen. Of course, it all seems for us circumstantial evidence, right? But if we do a preponderance of the evidence, we have to come to the conclusion that more likely than not, amen, Jesus rose. Amen. And that's why God gives us these proofs rather than just saying, he got up, didn't he? Amen. They don't know that. We know that by the Holy Spirit, and we don't hardly believe it sometimes. So what do you think they without the Holy Spirit going to do with that? Amen. So Thomas now has seen the risen Jesus. Now the fifth appearance of Jesus, his disciples have gone back to Galilee. And if you'll notice something, Jesus not with them every day, all day, 24/7, 365, like he was. Now he's in, he's out. He's in, he's out. Okay? So they're going to have to learn to live with a Jesus they can't see. They're going to have to learn to believe and have faith in a Jesus that ain't with them all day physically. Amen. Visibly. Just maybe verbally. Amen? And so now they've gone back to Galilee. And think about this. They've been rolling with Jesus for 3.5 years. Yeah, they didn't about tore up their fishing business. Amen, or whatever other business. Matthew ain't sitting at the receipt of custom no more. He can't go back to Rome and say, can I have my job back? So they need money to live. Amen.
Okay.
So they go out and Peter says, I'm going fishing. And so some of the other disciples say, let's go. So they get in the boat and they fish all night long. They haven't caught anything out in the deep. So now they're about 100 yards from shore. And Jesus is on the shore, but they don't know it. He got that cloaking device on that he had on the road to Emmaus. Them people, they saw him, but they didn't see him. And like he did Mary, saw him, but didn't see him. And now Jesus is on the shore, and he says, children, have you caught any fish? And of course, Peter, spokesman of the group, says, no, we ain't caught nothing. We finna come on back in. So whatever you thought you was going to get from us, you can forget about it. I still got my knife. Don't mess with me. I'll cut your ear off. And Jesus ain't here to put it back. Amen. Okay, probably some of that he didn't say, but amen. Probably a lot of that. Amen. Amen. So Jesus says, now watch this. They know they're fishermen, right? Peter, James, John, all of them, and Andrew, they're fishermen. That's their business. Jesus tells them, in the shallows, throw your net out. See, them nets were used to cast out into the deep. And you ever watch them barren sea people who go out there and try to kill themselves? Amen. You ever see them trying to catch some fish for us, some crabs and things? And I'm like, Jesus, really? That's their job? Boat going up and down, people's head getting knocked off? Amen. So they throw the net over because Jesus told them to, but they don't know it's Jesus. It's some guy, Deacon Freeman. It's just some guy standing on the shore talking about throw it over in the shallows. They're desperate. They need some money. They know that's crazy, but they do it. And all of a sudden, they can't pull the net back in. And so all of them get together, and then your boy John say, it is the Lord. Amen. He remembered the last time Jesus told him to launch out. Amen. And throw your nets over into the what? Deep. And take in a draw. Now they're throwing it over into the shallows. And they're taking in a draw. But that reminds them, this is Jesus. Peter loved him some Jesus. Amen. So what does he do? He dives off of the boat, put his clothes back on because he had got out there in his underwear because it's hot. And he out there in his little, well, I forgot the tunic, whatever they call the underwear thing. Amen. And so he dives in the water, put his clothes back on and go to Jesus. They pull in the fish. It's 153 fish. And what do they do with these fish? Fatten their pockets. They take those fish and sell them and make some money. But Jesus uses this opportunity to, even though I'm not with you, even though you can't see me every day, even though you're wondering what you're going to do since your business is destroyed and I've called you to be my witnesses, I will provide for you. Even though you don't see me every day, even though you don't hear my voice every day, I will provide for you. And they need to know that because now we come to his sixth visit and he's getting ready to leave. They don't know it, but he's getting ready to leave. In Acts chapter 1, it tells us that over a period of 40 days, he met with them. And he gave them many convincing proofs. I watched a movie called Proofs one time. And it was all about science, but it was talking about you don't have conclusive empirical evidence, but what you have is circumstantial evidence. So you offer these things up as proofs, not like the word proof beyond a reasonable doubt or proof, I can show you this, but proofs that this more likely happened than not. And so on the sixth sign, Jesus shows up to them, does his best to convince them that I'm really risen from the dead, okay? And he's just about to leave. They don't know it though. So Peter says to him, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus tells him, that's God's business and not yours. But here's your business. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit. Remember last week we talked about what? The power of God. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes and indwells inside you, lives inside you. Power to be what? My witnesses. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all the way to the uttermost parts of the earth. If you've listened to my YouTube, you know that's one of the things that I talk about. I'm trying to reach the world for Christ, trying to get to the uttermost parts of the earth, trying to comply with what Jesus said. I don't want to be the kind of Christian, when Jesus come back to get me, I ain't never led nobody to Christ before. I ain't never taught nobody about Christ before. I haven't helped nobody in or outside the body of Christ before. Amen? Amen. So those are the six appearances of Jesus. After Jesus tells them this, he's ascending into heaven. Amen? And now, they in the book of Acts is all about three things. The birth, the growth, and expansion of the Christian church. When you've seen the risen Jesus, then you can do what they did. They went out into the highways and into the hedges to compel people to come in. And we talked about the birth of the church and how on the day of the birth of the church, 3,000 souls came in because somebody said, he is risen. Peter just told those folks there that Jesus is risen. His whole sermon was about one thing from beginning to end. Jesus is risen. Yeah. And once Peter said that, that was it. That's all he could do. Then the Holy Spirit did the rest. He convicted 3,000 people that Peter was telling the truth. And 3,000 people gave their lives to Christ. It's good that we come together on Easter to remember Jesus' resurrection. Yeah. All right. But it's also better to go out and tell somebody that he's risen. Yes. Lord God, our Father, we thank you for a risen Christ. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you gave us many convincing proofs, even though we weren't there, We are the folks who look back to the risen Christ, just as those folks in the Old Testament look forward to the coming Christ. But we thank you, Father, that you have given us this gospel ministry. You said over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that you have given us this ministry of reconciliation, because you are reconciling the world back to yourself through the risen Jesus. So help us, Father, to not let the resurrection just be a day, but let the resurrection become a life. Okay. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, Beth.
All righty.